Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham and Mylon Yurkovich, and your phone calls right after this.
Before I ask my question, I first want to say how much I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
You know something, I failed as a husband.
I had a question, if I could, please.
Okay.
The rest of it, I just felt like I was kind of getting shined on. So now I get it.
I want to know about your dad, what he was like.
He was an angry person.
That's a big part of your anger.
I think having you be a little bit more involved says, I'm a woman and you're doing this to women. This is going to affect your relationship with women. And so for him to feel what that's like in the presence of a woman, I think is important.
Yeah, that was good, Jill.
People with addictive personalities are like boa constrictors.
Well, I just asked, did you play with dynamite when you were a child?
No.
Because this is playing with dynamite. Hi there, wherever you are, in your truck, in your car, perhaps at a bar. I don't know. I don't think you're watching this at a bar, but anyway, maybe there's a bar in your home and you're by yourself and, you know, like a serving bar, kitchen bar. Wherever you are, thank you for joining us. Maybe you're at work. I don't know. But we're so thankful that you're here. Thank you for tuning in. And I am hoping and praying that something that we say, well, Mylon and Sherry say, will mean something to you. And it will challenge you and encourage you.
Steve.
Yes.
Speaking of things that sort of matter because they're very important and profound. In your new book, Walking Into Walls, you talk about the difference between a wall and a boundary.
Yeah.
And I was saying the other day to you, my wife thought it was brilliant, and
I've been
looking at it more fully too. And the distinction you draw, if you could just kind of give me a quick, and our listeners, the distinction between the two, difference between a wall and a boundary.
Well, if I build up a wall, I am building something that separates me from other people and ends the potential of relationship and connection.
Is that protection?
It is protection, totally. If I say to my husband who has hurt me, I will never, ever be with you again. You are sick. I don't love you. You have hurt me beyond repair. Do not ever talk to me again. That's not a boundary. That's a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I say to him about me, I say, you know what, you need to know that I've made some decisions about myself. And I'm going to be going to Al-Anon and learning how to deal with the addiction that's in our family. And if you want to be a part of my life, you can go to AA. And we can work through this together. But if you're not going to stop the drinking, then I'm not going to be around you when you drink. Now, there's a boundary. It's an invitation. It's moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just stopping everything. If one program we had, a lady said because of her childhood, she trusted no one. Well, there's a wall. You can't win. And when you wall off your past, you're walling yourself off with your past.
Right.
And you'll never get to the future that God has for us. So
give us a visual picture.
Is that
a fence? Is it plexiglass?
You stay stuck there, don't you? It's a place where whatever the metaphor is, you're stuck.
I think that the wall is solid and it's about 80 feet thick is what I see.
I drew a picture of that, right?
But I see the boundary as a radioactive electric hovering circle around me.
People zapper.
And when that boundary is crossed, then the pain doesn't come to me, it comes to you. If you love me, I'm not going to allow that to happen. So I'm going to take the boundary's portable, see?
Right.
It goes with me. The wall is built, it's stuck, I never move. So if you touch my electric wire that's hovering, I'm moving away from you.
Right.
You can't hurt me with my boundary. I will keep it in force. So that's not only a protection, it's an invitation to live within the parameters of the boundary that I have established. Your first boundary is your skin.
Yeah.
And so if you can't treat my skin appropriately, I'm removing it from you. You hit me, I am removing that from you. You will not have the benefit of me.
Right.
Anyway, difference between a wall and a boundary. We'll take a break and we'll come right back.
Mm-hmm.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Now, so it's not necessarily Al-Anon, it's Mylanon?
Well, when they come to my office, they go to Mylanon.
Oh, yeah.
And they talk on and on and on and on.
No, it's just that's where they Mylanon. Come and process.
That's okay. Good. I like that.
Yeah. Let's talk with Vivian. Vivian's calling from Arlington, Virginia. She listens on the podcast there. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, Vivian. How could we help you today?
I was wondering what you guys think about a Christian couple who deliberately decides to be child-free.
Okay. Just give us a little background. Why
I call them able to take more vacations.
Yeah.
That's what I call them. Yeah.
Sleep nights.
Yeah, I call it. They're not just child-free. They're free.
Yeah.
What's the situation that you're talking about?
Well, I'm talking about myself and
my husband and I
decided not to have any children.
How long have you been married? The two of you, how long have you been married?
18 years.
18 years, okay. All right. I mean, some people, for whatever reason, decide not to have children. They think that they can live a life for the Lord in a more productive way than raising children. It's just not their thing, maybe because of the way they were raised or whatever. But, you know, you don't have to have children to be a married Christian couple. That's what I think.
Are you struggling with other people's expectations of you to have kids?
I would say I feel alienated at church.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And around other Christians. No one's said anything nasty to me, but I don't really fit in with the women at church, and it's my opinion that having children is kind of a Christian agenda for some people, and so.
Well, let's don't go all that way because there are some people that might have that little thought, but relationship really is about shared experience, and so when a couple decides not to have children, part of that decision needs to be an awareness that for the majority of people that are couples, we're not going to have a shared experience of child raising. And so it's going to make it sometimes difficult for them to have a relationship with us because there's so much to talk about when you have four kids and we have not had that experience. So that's just a reality that hopefully you did look at that at some point over the 18 years.
Yeah, and that's fine, and I totally understand that. I totally get that.
But if you sense this, it's like you're kind of wearing your childless condition, and people sense that, and it may make it uncomfortable for them. But, you know, I want you to be more confident in your decision so that whether somebody rejects you or not, it doesn't matter. You're doing the right thing. You think you're doing what God called you to do, that kind of thing. Let's hear from Mylan and Sherry.
I do feel confident in my decision.
Good.
But I don't feel I have to defend it, but the truth is, I don't really fit in. My husband and I really don't fit in very well at church and in Bible studies and things like that. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation.
So for some reason, you and your husband feel like you don't fit in, and so maybe that's why it's easier to call it a Christian agenda and put it on other people, rather than maybe having to own what is it about you or your husband that makes it more problematic for you guys to connect. Because there are some realities like Steve's talking about. As a single person, I'm single, and so I don't have any kids. And I have to figure out how to connect and bond with a vast array of people, those that have kids, those that are married, and those that are single, and still be in the church. It's easy for me to isolate and kind of lick my own wounds and, you know, look back at my past and go, woe is me, I don't quite fit in, and to camp on that and to kind of blame it on other people. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's pretty. It's a lot harsher than what I'm going through. I mean, I do have friends. I do have connections. I guess it's just maybe it's just hard to put into words. I did the best I could, but it doesn't sound like I'm putting it into words very well.
I think you did a good job, but let me just try and clarify. You said, I feel alienated. And you said, but there's nothing they say. I just walk into their context and I feel alienated. So do you think you're projecting rejection, how you feel awkward about yourself not being in the same social strata, not having kids? Do you think you're projecting your awkwardness onto that, onto them, and assuming that they feel the same way toward you that you feel?
I don't know. I do the best I can.
I know you're doing the best you can.
In certain social contexts, it doesn't. It seems less of a problem.
Okay. So if I were to say to you, because you phoned up and you said, is this okay for a Christian couple not to have kids? That's kind of your question. Choice not to have kids. So that makes me think you're questioning that even after 18 years, and that there's somehow this alienation that you feel is somehow causing you to wonder about that. Is that your question?
I do struggle with it. I mean, I feel guilty. And,
okay, now that's a different story. And I love that honesty.
See, why do you feel guilty? What is that about?
I'm not really sure. Sometimes I feel guilty for having such a nice life. I have a really nice life. And some people struggle. They struggle financially, or their children have problems that, you know, their problems are very chaotic and... I don't have a lot of problems. I have a pretty easy life. I have a nice life. Sometimes I feel guilty for that.
Okay. So what would be something that would help you overcome that guilt of a nice life with no kids?
I was hoping you'd say something, Steve, to take it all away.
All right. I will. So I don't know what your finances are, but... World Vision, I believe it costs $30 a month to support a child. So why don't you guys take your financial ease and make it a little uneasier and support 100 children in Africa for $3,200 a month? There's no way you'd feel guilty about that. We took our childlessness and we turned ourselves into the supporters of 100 children. Or maybe it's just 50 children or 20. But that's a way to eradicate the guilt by taking action rather than just trying to feel better about it.
Yeah, My husband and I actually do something pretty similar to that.
Okay.
Vivian, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Did, you know, I know some people that make choices not to have children because their own childhood was a very unpleasant experience. And so they don't view childhood as a happy thing, and so they prefer not to have children because of that. So what was your childhood like, and what was your husband's childhood like?
Mine was terrible, and he didn't enjoy his either.
Okay. So this is part of the dilemma, then, you see, that you're dealing with here. And therefore, you can say, we didn't just make a choice not to have children. Really, having children, not having children was a way of avoiding pain for us, of having to reface something that was very terrible, in your words, and unpleasant. And maybe if you start to really focus around the truth of why you've made the choice, that will help your guilt, because I could understand why you'd make a decision like that. I can understand it. And sometimes that is liberating, to simply bring that piece of information into the equation, because then it's not just a choice, a cognitive head thing. It's really an emotional reason why I'm saying,
totally,
I don't want to go there.
Yeah, totally.
It's too painful
sense.
To go there.
It's a much more understanding and compassionate view.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I was thinking, Vivian, as we were talking to you, I thought, you know, in some way, my sense was that you believe that nobody really understands you. Nobody really understands the level of pain that you have been through and that you even now live with.
I think that probably when you're in the presence of other people and you either watch them with their children or you hear them talk so positively about their children, I think that's what causes you to go to that place of nobody understands me. Or they wouldn't be talking about those kids, or they wouldn't even let me see their kids. I had such a horrible childhood.
And I'm glad we didn't miss you today. I mean, Mylan, thank you so much for interjecting that, because I want to compliment you, Vivian, on your strength. You know, when I missed you. When I started bringing that, you said, well, that's kind of sharper than, I missed you. But together we didn't. Together we got to a point where we really heard your pain. Did you see the shift happen? Did you feel it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't it nice to be seen and heard and understood? Like something deep inside you just went, ah, this was nice. But I'm proud of you that you kind of brought your voice to say, no, that's not it. And then as we kind of went around here, eventually it kind of landed in, okay, now someone really saw me. That's where healing starts for you. And you've got to find that somewhere. You and your husband need to find that community somewhere, in the church, in a small group, where, like Mylan kind of called out, the more honest, vulnerable side, so that people can love you and accept you even with those choices that you made, and not guilt you over it and release you of guilt. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm really glad that you called, and I hope that that little girl inside that was hurt so badly, I hope that she will heal and lead the little boy inside of your husband to a place of healing. And I'm going to send you healing as a choice, and I'm going to send you walking into walls, and I hope and pray that this would just be the beginning of a different kind of journey.
So, Steve, then to your book, Walking into Walls. So not having children could be a wall.
It is a wall that prevents or allows her to exist without having to process and resolve the feelings of pain of childhood. She has walled those off. Sadly, though, these walls, the stuff seeps out of them.
Well, would that be the guilt that she feels after 18 years still? And, you know, every time I walk through the corridors of the church, it leaks out. Yeah. See, I think we can eradicate the guilt by getting down, as you just said, Sherry, to the truthful place.
Yeah.
And then you even turn that into a testimony where we turn the pain into purpose.
Right.
And perhaps we stand up one day at church and we say, you know what? We chose not to have children. You know why? Because we were hurt so bad as children. It was such an unpleasant experience. Yeah. We didn't want to take a risk of harming our...
Inflicting that
pain on anybody else. Right. But we've grown a lot, and we're going to spend the summer serving in the youth department, or we're going to spend the summer serving in the nursery. Just to show that I'm making progress to ourselves.
It's kind of like repurposing your life
it
around
really
the
is.
Pain.
It is.
Rather than being drugged back into the pain.
That's right.
And we want to be understood and seen and heard
right.
with our pain.
And Vivian deserves to be heard, yeah. and so does her husband.
Yep.
When we come back, we'll talk about my assumption of how Sherry connects with others.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married? The ideal husband? The amazing dad? The great lover? But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Now, Sherry, one of the ways I think you connect with people is pranks.
I like pranks.
Yeah. Like we had a white elephant party, and who went out and bought this big, huge pottery
white elephant?
It was huge, you guys. I mean, it was like, I don't know, 40 pounds. It was big. When I saw it, I laughed out loud in the store. I didn't care what it cost it. I was like, I am buying that one.
She brought a white elephant to a white elephant.
So everybody there thought it was hilarious.
And then I put it in a banana box, of all things, and then went and got these banana leaves and covered it. You know, it was like...
See? And you loved that, and we loved that you loved it, and we all connected. And I think people went home going, Sherry, I can't wait to be around her more because she does crazy things. And, you know, your little mask that you did when you hosted the show.
When you were gone, the cats away, the mice will play.
You find ways to connect.
So, where is that elephant? Is that going to show
I
up?
No. Well,
year?
This is the thing. Well, somebody did take it home, and I'm hoping it'll come back.
Did Mac take it home?
You know, I don't know who ended up with it. Isn't that nice? Because we don't know. That means they're going to have to disguise it somehow.
Yep. Yep.
You know.
Let's talk to Debbie from Los Angeles, California, listening on KKLA. Hello, Debbie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very emotional and very nervous to be talking to you.
All right.
Nervous because my husband and I don't have much of a Christian foundation. In fact, he's atheist, and I've been listening to your show for about a year now and going to Al-Anon, so I'm connecting a little bit more. But anyway, my issue is I think I'm at a point where I need to divorce my husband.
Why is that? What's going on?
I'm sorry. Okay, well, we've been married 16 years, and before I go on really quick, I am halfway through reading Boundaries in Marriage, and I realize how immature we both are, and I'm realizing so many of my problems, so I'm not afraid to admit, you know, what I'm wrong and what my issues are. But anyhow, we've been married 16 years. My husband, just a little bit about him, he, in my opinion, has an addictive personality, but he doesn't admit to that. He was diagnosed with ADD, and he has a short fuse, has a temper. But anyhow, 9 months ago, he left. We separated. He just kind of blew up one night. We were having some wine, and there was an argument, and it just escalated, and he stormed out and said, "That's it, I'm done," and he left. So he's been gone ever since, and throughout these 9 months, I've been doing all I can. I've been reading, going to Al-Anon, gone to therapy, and he went with me recently to therapy, but for the most part, he hasn't done anything because in his mind, he was done. He said he loved me, but not in love with me, and so anyway, about 2 months ago, I had suspicions about a woman, that there was flirtation, and I confronted him, and he admitted and said nothing happened, but I was pursuing her, and I got really angry and expressed that, you know what, this is ridiculous, this is someone I know, how could you humiliate me that way, and mm-hmm. He apologized, said he was wrong. Well, a couple of days ago, we had a blow-up, and he was very apologetic, he felt he was wrong, and in his apology, he also said that he's developed feelings for another woman, and but the funny thing is she's out of state, which blows my mind why he would, I don't know, I know I'm rambling, but now that I've heard this and he's told me, I've just been the person that has never, I've never set boundaries in the marriage. He's been running wild. He lives like a single person, has many friends, always has stuff to do, and I'm the person at home taking care of our kid and
let me ask you this. Why did you choose to just let him run wild and be a single person?
Why? Afraid, you know, never wanting to rock the boat. And
why wouldn't you want to rock the boat?
Intimidated by his temper because he has a short fuse.
Okay.
Did one of your parents have a temper?
My father.
Yeah. So you became the caretaker, you became the person that tries to be the responsible one and make everything okay. Is that right?
And my husband knows that. He always tells me, you know, you get upset because you say I'm like your father, you know, and I said, yeah, you are, you know, it does trigger something.
Of course it does.
So now I'm at a point where I've been going to Al-Anon, and it's been really helpful and comforting. And now that he told me this 2 days ago about this woman, and the thing is, I know he cares and he loves me. He's really struggling, and he cried, and he's upset. And I know he still loves me, but
there's something else.
He
you
won't
know.
Put the work into this.
There's
he
something won't. Else you know. That
what?
Continuing your role as caretaker, not rocking the boat, not setting boundaries, doesn't draw him to you.
No, and that's
in fact,
what I realized today.
He apologized to you when you guys had an argument because you were kind of fighting back a little bit. You were standing up for yourself a little bit.
And that's when it blows up, when I stand
up
for myself.
Right. So you've discovered that a style for you that doesn't work is pacifying, keeping the peace, and all of that.
Right.
You're going to Al-Anon. Now I think it's time for you to set a boundary that doesn't include him in your life until he gets help for his sexual integrity problem. That's what he's lacking, sexual integrity. And it was that lack of sexual integrity that led him away from you.
Yeah, I know I have to. There's no doubt. Okay. I wanted to make sure I'm on the right path.
Well, we're gonna give you some more help right after this, okay? So you hold on. You're listening to New Life Live 1-800-229-3000.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, let's get some insight from Mylon and from Sherry. Debbie is at a point of not wanting to continue as she has been. So it's a good time for her. Is there any hope for this marriage, do you think?
Well, there is hope, because a person who has an addictive personality doesn't know limits. They don't know boundaries. They have the inability to have impulse control.
Right.
They can't delay gratification, all these things. And so it's reasonable then, Debbie, to understand why he has left you in the dust. He'll respond to whatever the next thing is that's stimulating. And in a sense, if you can sort of depersonalize that just a touch, to say he would do this, well, he does this with his friends if he has another great idea come along. Now, that doesn't help
right
you. Yeah. And so exactly. To just sort of depersonalize the addictive personality. Secondly, you know, there's this passage in 1 Corinthians that says, if a believer has a non-believer living with them and the non-believer chooses to leave, let him go. And because if he decides he doesn't want to live within this framework of a Christian home or a home where God is present. And so that is something that does speak some relevance to your situation. How old is your child?
He's 13.
Okay, so, you know, is dad being a dad to the 13-year-old?
Well, now he is more. Now that he's gone, he is picking him up a couple of days a week. But when he was home, he felt he was there because he was there. He wasn't. That was one of our arguments.
Yeah, he wasn't very proactive, was he?
He was avoidant.
No, but now he knows he has to pick him up. You know, so he does spend time with them. He does love them, but he wasn't very active when he was at home.
Yeah.
He works so much.
Well, I think, what Steve was saying a moment ago about you're going to Al-Anon. Al-Anon is about not playing the game. It's about, you know, learning to not fall into the enabling of the person who has the addiction.
Right.
And what Steve was saying a little while ago about setting boundaries that say, okay, and this is what God does with the gospel. He says, I love you, but there's this gap between us and there is sin that separates. And so I cannot have a relationship with you until you walk across the cross and the blood, and then I will gladly have a relationship with you if you embrace our relationship on my terms. And so that could be your appeal to him, you know, that you get into AA yourself, you get into sexual SA and, you know, Sexual Addiction Anonymous, you get into a drug program, a drug rehab program, and we begin to have conversations where I learn to tolerate tension.
Mm-hmm.
I learn to get into couples therapy where I learn to tolerate delayed gratification.
Right.
I control my impulses, and I listen to somebody, and I learn new skills. And
yeah.
It's possible for a new relationship to build out of that, and that's what I love seeing happen. And Sherry, you see that happen too.
I do. And, you know, Debbie, would love to have you join myself and some other women who are also afraid to rock the boat at the Women in the Battle conference that's coming up here shortly. The reason for that is there are a group of women who have grown up in homes that have been scary just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they have lost their voice. They have become fearful in knowing how to move through life. And kind of like yourself, you said, you've allowed your husband to just run willy-nilly. I want to speak really honestly to you. That is your part. You need to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You need to get stronger as a woman, period. You've got an adolescent who's coming up, who's going to need a mom that is okay rocking the boat. She's going to need to find her voice. So whether it's applied towards your son or your husband or even someone else in the future, you need to get stronger. And the Women in the Battle Conference would be a great place for you to learn how to do that. We're going to talk about that and give you the tools to help you get stronger.
Great idea.
Okay.
That sounds perfect.
I hope we've said something helpful. Hold on. We want to tell you about that. It is so true. You know, you don't know what to do. Get in the car, get to the airplane, get to the airport, and come to that conference.
Yeah.
And that's going to speak volumes to the other person. Wow, this person that I could count on to be a doormat or a wet blanket, now they're becoming a real human being that I need to regard.
It gets somebody's attention if you say to them, I'll be gone this weekend, you need to watch our son.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, where are you going? Well, I'm going to this New Life Ministries event. Well, what for?
Hmm.
Well, I'm trying to learn how to have an adult voice.
Right.
Yeah.
What is that? And of course, then it opens up a ton of new
opportunities. It builds respect.
It does. It builds respect.
You know?
And pleasers are the least respected of all the types.
Like a speed bump.
They don't demand respect.
Yeah.
And respect is earned, never given.
Yeah.
You must earn it.
Okay. Let's go to Liane. Lane. How do you say it?
Hi. Lane.
Lane from Torrance, California, listening on KKLA. Hello, Lane.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you?
My call.
You're welcome.
I could be better.
What's going on?
You had a young woman on two people before this, and I think her name was Erin or Erica or something, but I'm her. I listened to the whole thing. I've been on with you guys since 2 o'clock, I think. I'm her, and I just now I'm nervous because I had what I wanted to ask you, but I can try to sum it up. I've been having a lot of problems with having nightmares, really bad, horrible ones. I had them. They started when I was 5 years old, and I've had them. I'm 49 now, and I've had them all my life, but they're getting worse now. And I've come down with cancer, and my immune system's been compromised, and I'm having depression and these panic attacks, anxiety attacks. I started feeling them coming on maybe 2 years ago after I had a surgery in November of 2009, but I've been in and out of relationships with men who are just totally abusive. And my mom, I had an issue with her for a long time because we were in and out of foster homes a lot, and we never knew. She always came back for us eventually, but we never knew each time it happened, whether she was coming back or not. There was never any letters and no phone calls. Some of those places were abusive, and when I tried talking to her, she wouldn't listen. She didn't want to listen to me. And I, when I was 16, I got pregnant, and by my one and only boyfriend that I was going to marry at 18, as soon as I turned 18, but the baby had died, and we didn't know that I was pregnant, or the baby had died, and I went through a whole lot. I got really, really sick, and I couldn't hold down food, and I was losing 20 pounds a week, and I got down from 132 all the way to 89, and I was getting even thinner than that, and I was kind of dying. So anyway, I had a hard time, and then I couldn't wait to leave home, of course, because my mom was really not there, even though she was there. She didn't really care about me.
All right, so how could we help you today?
Well, my question was, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this because it's gotten to the point where I can't function at work anymore. I'm sick, and I'm angry all the time, even though I don't want to be.
Okay, and what are you doing to help yourself right now?
Calling you.
Okay, what else?
Well, I think a lot about the choices I made. I mean, I'm not, as far as getting help outside of myself, I haven't.
Okay. So what's kept you from getting help, dear one? Because you have got a rap sheet. You just gave us a list. Some of the folks that come to me with trauma, they'll come in with like 4 pages Excel spreadsheet. So I'm hearing you, and I'm going, whoa.
But half of the stuff, she said, would require help.
Yeah.
A fourth of this of a rap sheet. But you're not getting that kind of help.
So what's kept you out of getting help for yourself? Because your body's been crying out for it.
I know. Right now, I don't have the money to do that. And I won't use it as an excuse. I try to do self-help things. I read things and I listen to people on your program and the advice that you give them. And I try to tell myself that I have to forgive these people because the Lord forgave me. But I'm having a really hard time with God, too, because on the one hand, I love him. But on the other hand, I'm just wondering how he expects me to do what he wants me to do.
Yeah.
When I'm having problems.
Yeah, okay. We're going to help you with this. You hold on. We'll be back right after this message. Walking Into Walls is our gift to you. If you support this ministry, we'll send you a copy. When you join Club New Life, you can get this or you can get a Life Recovery Bible. We really do need your support. We'll come back for our final segment on this program after this.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, 1-800-639-5433 is the phone number, and I hope and pray that you'll call us if you're struggling. There are a lot of things we can do to help you. There are CDs, DVDs, there are Bible studies, books. We have counselors all over the country, and we have these weekends. Every Man's Battle. We have Women in the Battle coming up here in September. We have Lose It for Life later in the year. It's going to be wonderful. Come and be with us for these things. They really can change everything in your life. Now, the only way that we get to do these things is with your support. The things that we do, the weekends are very, very costly, and we need your help. Could you, right now, become a member of Club New Life? When you join Club New Life, we'll send you a Life Recovery Bible or an Everyman's Bible. We'll send you a resource every other month. We'll send you that book or CD that we have. You get a monthly CD that you can download or you can play that I make just for you. And in there are ministry updates, calls from our program we don't want you to miss because we know not everybody listens all the time. There's a teaching segment from somebody on the team. And then when we come to your community, we ask you to come and join us for what we're doing. There's an online community. $30 a month is all it costs. We need 4 people to sign up today so that we can have our goal of adding 1,000 people. Then we're doing really well so far. Maybe today is the day you could join us for Club New Life. Okay, we're talking to Lane, and we've been talking about her at the break here. And so what do you think she should do? She's calling us. That's a first step. It's a big step.
Lane, do you want to get well?
Yeah, I do. I have for some time. Yes, I do.
Cool.
I don't have the ability, but I do.
Do you have a church in the area, Lane?
I have a church that I just found recently. That there is one in Torrance that I think I might want to go to. I've called the office and made arrangements. Maybe somebody can come pick me up that lives nearby because I don't have a car now.
There you go.
That's fabulous.
It's wonderful.
See, now that tells me how intentional you are. The fact that you've done that already and we didn't tell you to do that, that shows a lot of intentionality on your part, and I'm really proud of you. Now, Sherry has some other thoughts about some additional steps or things that might be important for you to do.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Sure.
I was not really the passive one in the relationship. I mean, I was with angry people, or people who just weren't there emotionally, trying to prove that if I was good enough or I was nice or whatever, that they'll love me and like me and, mm-hmm. you know, and this and that. But whenever a thing would happen, I would see that somebody's intentionally trying to hurt me. I didn't just sit back and be passive about it. I mean, I screamed, yelled, fought, you know, whatever I could do to be heard, but it never did any good.
Nobody listened to you, did they?
Yeah, it took its toll on my health, though.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Mm.
So you've lost your health, you've lost your car.
My money, my job, everything I had in my home, everything. I'm a mess right now.
All right, and we hear that. But you really need some specific care, you know,
I know.
For your issues, and we hear you. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, I'm glad you called, Lane. And I'm going to send you walking into walls. And, you know, there's a thing that happens sometimes. You can get in these places where you just keep going down and down and down, and things get worse, and one piles onto the other. And it is very, very tough to feel hope.
Yeah.
Well, here's somebody, it really seems like she's gradually getting better, willing, wanting to pull out of it. But if you're not willing to do the work, which she is willing, then that hope, of course you don't have hope.
Yeah.
You're stuck. You are truly stuck.
For
if you don't
right
do
now,
the work.
It's life and death.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
We all listen to this. All of us witness a call. It's life and death for her, because how much more can she lose and still hold on to hope and survive, right?
Right.
She's really at the bottom.
Well, the cool thing about Lane is that she's a self-declared fighter.
Yep.
You know, and
love it.
And that is really positive, because she's trying to do something, and she's calling. I like when you said, "Well, now what are you doing for Lane?" And she goes, "Well, I'm calling you." And so she is trying to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we need a body of Christ, you know, the church, because when we can't carry ourselves, we have to ask others to carry us. And that's probably one of the hardest asks in a lifetime.
Yep.
Would you carry me at this time? And it's a powerful place.
One of the things that disturbs me the most is someone develops cancer,
mm-hmm.
has a lot of time off, gets fired from the job, loses the car, loses their house, and, mm-hmm. and they go to a church, and the church says, "Where is the sin in your life?"
Mm-hmm.
As if all problems are a result of sin. And it's just sad that
so
that's still
painful. It
still
just
exists.
Heaps more on them.
You know what my answer would be?
What?
Oh, Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve.
See, because of that original, who sinned? Well, Adam and Eve. And as a result of that, the whole world is messed up. The whole world's broken. I'm broken. My body doesn't work right. Nothing works quite right. And so, you know, where's the sin?
Where's the sin in your life? Well, it's a distant grandparent of mine, and I don't even know how far back it goes, but it's way back there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we're glad you joined us today. Thank you. Thank you. Milan Yurkovich is the author of How We Love and How We Love Our Kids, and it could be a great life changer for you to buy both of those books, work on yourself, and then watch the impact that it can have on your kids. As I mentioned before, the new book, Walking Into Walls, it's my favorite book. It's my best book. And, you know, we're just now finishing up August, and this is our premium to you if you support the ministry. You can also order it at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, it's August 30th, and you've heard me say this before, but I really think September 1 is a better New Year time than January 1, because things change. You leave summer, kids mm-hmm. are in school. And so think about maybe something that you want to change, and you can always go back and say, I changed it, or I started, or I began September 1st, 2011. It really could make all the difference in the world. Make September 1st the new year of your new life and do something different. Don't make a resolution, but decide, I'm going to go to that meeting, or I'm going to exercise 5 minutes a day, or I'm going to read the Bible 5 minutes a day. It's a great time to do that. Coming up next month, Sherry goes to Women in the Battle. One reason that women should come to that, Sherry?
So that they don't feel so alone mm-hmm. in the pain, really. There's a lot of pain that comes from being with a husband or a boyfriend or in a relationship as a mom, if you have a child that's struggling with sex addiction. And it is a painful and lonely path. And we want to help get you connected with other women that you can walk with, as well as get the right tools for how you can walk into this battle against pornography and get healthy and whole yourself.
It's a bold move.
It is.
Bold move to do it. But, man, it can make all the difference in the world for your life and for others around you. And then also we've got Every Man's Battle 2.0. If you have been through Every Man's Battle and you want a refresher, you want a revitalizer, it's going to be a great, great time. You're going to love being in the company of all these other men that have walked exactly where you have walked. So call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-639-5433, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or go online to the new website, newlife.com. There you can find many, many things. You can find testimonies, videos, all sorts of great things. There's a great video on bullying. Just go to the website and download it and show it to your kids, because it's really good. All right, we're out of time. Milan, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Sherry.
It's great to be here.
Thanks to all of you. Thanks for listening or watching. God bless you. Have a great day. We love you. We're praying for you. See you next time on New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.